I don't know about you guys, but I hate waiting, okay? Krista and I are actually going to Disneyland this week because you guys got her tickets for her birthday this year. And just by default, I also got tickets. And so we get to go enjoy Disneyland. It's one of our most favorite places. If you haven't been there recently, Star Wars Land is amazing. Like, I kind of teared up when I first saw it because I'm a huge Star Wars fan. And just Disneyland's so immersive. I love everything about it. I love the food, right? The churros, the turkey legs. I love all the snacks, all the drinks. I love the rides. I love the atmosphere, if you will. Everything about Disneyland I love. But the one thing that I cannot stand, and y'all gonna amen with me, are those lines. Right? Disneyland lines are atrocious. Luckily, there's Max Pass and all these Fast Pass things, but... But if you've ever stood in line at Disneyland, you know that it's a miserable experience, especially in the hot LA summer sun. The people in front of you have bad BO. The people behind you is sweating, and the kids are running around being a mess. Like, everything about it is so hard and so difficult. And I think a lot of us are on the same page that we hate waiting. We hate waiting in traffic. We hate waiting in San Francisco demonic brunch lines. I mean, we hate waiting for TV. Our generation hates waiting for TV shows so much that they had to create Netflix where you can watch all the episodes at once. I have a friend that refuses to watch a show until all the episodes are released because he cannot wait. We hate waiting. You know, that's why they have A-List at AMC. I love A-List because there's an exclusive line just for A-Listers for this app promotion. And they make it so extra. They have like a red carpet rolled out. They have like these little things on the side. And you can literally just walk past the concession line and just say, feed me or give me whatever I need. We hate waiting. And what I want to propose this morning is I think many of us resonate with this idea that we're all waiting on something. Some of us are waiting for God to send us our husbands or our wives. Some of us are waiting for God to heal our family members. Some of us are waiting for God to bring our friends to salvation. Some of us are waiting for God to give us an open door to finally step into the career path that we've been longing for. Some of us are waiting for God to bring us out of the dry season to light our hearts on fire again. We're all waiting on something. And last week we talked about having anticipation for God to move in our lives, that even if he isn't moving yet, that one day he will fulfill everything that he's promised. What I want to propose to you today is that waiting is hard enough as it is, but waiting without a when is even harder. Waiting without knowing when God's going to answer, when God's going to move, when God's going to break through is one of the hardest things to navigate. And I want to propose that it's frustrating when we're waiting on God, but we know he'll do it, but we don't know when. Come on, how many of you there with me? That it's hard and it's frustrating when we're waiting for God to break through and we trust that he'll do it, but we just don't know when. You see, in between the promise and the blessing is where I think we live most of our lives, isn't it? Most of our lives is actually spent in between the already and the not yet. Psalm 27, 13 through 14, I think we oftentimes read this first verse. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What we talked about last week, that in every situation, I'm going to trust, I'm going to have hope and anticipation that God is going to move. But we forget about the second part of this verse, that after it says, have hope, see goodness of God in the land of the living, it says this, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. See, we can have anticipation and hope. But after we have anticipation and hope, we have to actually wait. We have to go through the process of waiting for God to do what he said he would do, to fulfill what he promised to fulfill. And I find that it's here in the middle, what I like to call in the in-between, where we give up, where we become hopeless, where we grow cold and bitter and disappointment. In the waiting, in the in-between, is oftentimes where we give up our heart and say, I don't want to hope or dream anymore. You know, last week we were at lunch, and I forget who I was talking to. I think it was maybe Tanya or Jane. We're talking about that movie Click. Have you ever seen that movie with Adam Sandler, Click? Basically, the premise is he finds this magical remote from Bed Bath & Beyond in the Beyond section, and he has this remote control that can actually fast forward through his life and through time. And so there's moments and there's scenes where he has to like wait for something, but instead of waiting, he'll just fast forward through it. Or maybe like his wife is nagging him, doesn't want to go through it, and he fast forwards. And he keeps fast forwarding through all the moments where he would have been waiting and waiting, and he's fast forwarding through life. And if you've seen the movie, spoiler alert, he gets to a point where he stops for a moment, he looks in the mirror, and he realizes he's completely old. He's all old and gray. And his kids are running around. His wife's coming up to him and saying, like, do you remember when this happened? Do you remember when this happened? He says, no, because I fast-forwarded through it all. And I think most of us wish we had a remote like that, where in our seasons of waiting, God, I don't want to wait for my husband or my wife. Can you just fast-forward through those cold, lonely nights watching Netflix by myself so I can get there? God, I don't want to wait for my career to finally take off. Can you fast-forward the parts where I have to grind at the workplace where I don't want to be? God, I don't want to wait for you to move in my life or my family. God, can you fast-forward me through it? And I think most of us, if we had our wish, we would want God to fast-forward us through the moments of waiting that he's called us to live through. And I bet most of us are right there in some area of our lives in between the already and the not yet, right there in the thick of the in-between. But I want to propose to you this morning that the most important works that God will ever do in your life are in the seasons of waiting. Some of the most blessed blessings that he wants to release to you are not after the waiting or in the fulfillment, but it's actually in the midst of the waiting. It's in the waiting where God is. And so we're going to talk about that today. You know, I think when we read the Bible, we read it in its completion. And I think sometimes it's easy to disconnect with the humanity of what these biblical characters actually went through. We forget that the Bible, if you actually read through the Bible, you know, how many of you stuck with your Bible reading plan this year, right? If you're at the end, you know that the Bible is full of stories, not just of breakthrough and miracle, but of people waiting, right? God promises Abraham a son, and he waits 25 years to see him born. God promises Jacob a wife, and he waits 7 years, gets tricked, has to wait another 7 years, 14 years to be with the love of his life. God promises Joseph a seat at the palace from the moment he had those prophetic dreams. It takes 14 years and he goes to prison and he encounters struggle after struggle before he gets to the palace. God promises David the throne. He waits 15 years until he gets to sit on the throne and have the crown. Moses waited 40 years after God called him to be the liberator of his people. 40 years in the wilderness before God finally activated him. The disciples, this sounds a lot less after those years, but the disciples waited 50 days. It just sounds like nothing, right? But if you've ever waited 50 days, you know it's a lot. They waited 50 days after Jesus ascended for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus waited 30 years to begin his ministry. Can you imagine having the supernatural power of Jesus and having to restrain yourself for 30 years? Like you're at that college frat party and it's like, oh, we're out of wine. Like he could have just done it. He could have done it. Isaiah prophesies about the coming Messiah and a whole nation waits 500 plus years for the Messiah to finally come. The Bible is full of people that had to wait. And it's full of people that actually waited and some that never even saw come to pass what was promised. So what do we do with all that? What I want to propose this morning is there's a difference between waiting in despair and waiting on God. See, waiting in despair is waiting in hopelessness. It's a passive waiting. But waiting on God is waiting in anticipation. It's waiting knowing that the one you're waiting on is faithful to do what he said. You see, how many of you know that waiting on God, waiting in the Lord, is not passive, but it's active? In other words, waiting on God is not inactivity. It's surrendering every day your doubts, your worries, and your anxieties to him. It's worshiping despite not seeing progress. It's choosing to stay engaged despite your disappointments. I think when we think about waiting, we think it's devoid of activity. We're just waiting and tapping our feet and, you know, just waiting for God to do something. But it's not a passive stance. And I think oftentimes when we talk about the most powerful acts of faith, you know, we think about prayer. Or we think about God, you know, preaching through me. Or we think about praying for the sick or prophesying over someone. We think about stepping out in faith to tell someone about Jesus. We think about the miracles. But we never talk about waiting as a daring act of faith. Waiting is an act of faith. And I would argue that waiting is more an act of faith than some of those things. I would argue that sometimes it would be easier for me to go to my coworker or my neighbor and share with them about Jesus than waiting for the thing that I had been promised. Waiting is a daring act of faith. And today I want to explore three things to give you hope, to hold on to as encouragement if you are in a season of waiting. And I believe that so many of us are. Three things that God does in our seasons of waiting, in the in-between. What he's doing behind the scenes. And so the first thing is this. In our waiting, God is working. Romans 8, 18 through 25, the Message version. I just love the Message version of this particular passage. It says, all around us, we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us, it's within us. Basically, y'all pregnant, okay? The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. Come on, how many of you can resonate with that? You're yearning for full deliverance in your life. That is why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in our waiting. Come on, look to your neighbor and say, we are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy. You know what? I don't know why, but when I was reading this, I had this thought. Can you imagine what the experience of the first pregnant woman would have been like? Because I think nowadays we think, okay, you get pregnant, 9 months, baby's out. But can you imagine being the first ever, no one's ever gone pregnant. And you're watching your stomach grow. And you're like, when? Like, is it going to be 5 years? Is it going to be 10? Is it going to be 5 months? Like, when is it going to happen? But I imagine that despite that first pregnant mother, despite knowing when the baby was coming, she knew it was coming because she saw her tummy get larger and larger and larger. Maybe she had a fear that maybe it would grow as big as her one day, but she knew that in her waiting, something was happening within her. And that one day that she would finally give birth. Because she could see that in her waiting, she was getting enlarged. She could see that the thing, that the seed inside of her was growing and growing and growing. I think for many of us, we don't realize, because we can't see in the supernatural, that the things that we're waiting on are actually growing and growing and growing. The promises of God in our lives are actually growing and growing. The things that we're waiting for are actually growing enlarged as we continue to wait. One of my favorite testimonies this year is from Dan the man right there. If you remember, Dan had been waiting for a job for the longest time. And I mean, I was his pastor and there was moments where I was like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if God's gonna do it, bro. But he kept holding on, and he kept hoping, and he kept believing. I'm just kidding, Dan. I had full faith, okay? But one thing about Dan, I love that every moment he was holding on in faith. Okay, this job, I went for it. It seemed like it was going somewhere. Didn't pull through. But he still held to the hope that I know that God is still working, even though I can't see. In the midst of my waiting, God is still preparing something for me. And disappointment after disappointment, wall after wall, and finally, when it had broken through. You know, this past week, we got together with the prayer team, and we had a prayer meeting at Dan's new house. And I swear, when I stepped foot into his house, I was like, God, you are so good. This brother was surfing from couch to couch for almost a year. And I look at this new place. It is beautiful. Like, it is spacious. It's like I walked into a mansion on Cribs. Like, and I was thinking, God, in his waiting, you were enlarging his blessing. In his waiting, you were enlarging the thing that he was hoping for. That even though it looked like nothing was happening, you were working. In his waiting, you were working. What I want to propose to you is in your waiting, God is working. He's preparing the blessing. He's preparing the miracle. There's a pregnant promise on the inside of you, and it's growing every moment that you wait. See, one thing we have to realize is in the kingdom, there's a difference between no and not yet. And I think many times when we feel like God is saying to us no, he's actually just saying not yet. Just wait a little longer. Wait, because it's not large enough yet for me to give it to you. And I think the not yets in our lives are because God wants to enlarge the very thing that he wants to give us. I think the temptation in our seasons of waiting are to try to take things into our own hands. I've seen this happen so many times, especially with those single folks. You're waiting, but you try to take things into your own hands. Or maybe it's in your workplace. You're waiting, but you try to take things into your own hands. Or maybe it's with your career, or maybe it's with the thing that you've been dreaming for. And you try to take things into your own hands. You know, a story about this real quick, I won't get into it too much, but Abraham, as he was waiting, I think we read about Abraham and we commend him. Do you know there was a moment where he gave up faith in his waiting? And what they did is they took their servant girl, Hagar, and he tried to have a baby through her instead of his wife, Sarah. It was actually Sarah's idea. And he tried to fulfill the promise that God had promised him on his own with the servant girl in his own effort, in his own strength. But God said, the promise will not come through that which you try to do on your own. The promise has to come through me. How many of you know that if God gave you the promise, it's up to him to fulfill it? And I think oftentimes we try to fulfill the promises that God has given us on our own. And we find that we make a mess of things. The promise was never our part to fulfill. We have to remember, even when we can't see it with our physical eyes, God is working. He's enlarging us. There's a song by Hillsong that I love. It's called Seasons. And I just want to read you the bridge. It's so powerful. I was going to sing it, but I don't think it will sound good. Okay. It says this: I can see the promise. I can see the future. You're the God of seasons, and I'm just in the winter. If all I know of harvest is that it's worth my patience, then if you're not done working, God, I'm not done waiting. You can see the promise even in the winter, because you're the God of greatness, even in a manger. For all I know of seasons is that you take your time. You could have saved us in a second. Instead, you sent a child, right? Isn't it interesting that God's chosen method of saving the world was to send us a little baby human, baby Yoda, right? His method of saving the world was to send us a baby son, a baby Jesus. Think about it. God could have just snapped and said, it's done. Save the world, done, boom, just like that. But he chose to enter into time. He chose to send us a baby boy who would have to wait 30 years before he performed his first miracle, who would have to grow up. You see, he wanted to show us that the greatest work in creation, the greatest works of God, have to be waited upon. They have to be waited upon, that they're not instantaneous blessings, but God's greatest work in our lives is the stuff that will take time. And so this first idea that in our waiting, God is working. Listen, if you're discouraged today and you don't get anything else, I want you to remember in your waiting, God is working. And I want you to almost visualize yourself as being pregnant, especially you men, because we don't get to be pregnant. So we better imagine it in the spirit, right? But I want you to imagine that you're getting enlarged every moment that you wait for the promise to be fulfilled. Second point, in our waiting, we are changing. In Isaiah 40, 29 through 31, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. I just imagine Lord of the Rings, right, when they're on the eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The promise is in our waiting, God is actually changing us from the within. God is actually growing us. God is actually making us strong. He's renewing us. God is actually doing something, not just around us or to the circumstances that we're believing for or the family member that we're praying for, but God is actually in our waiting, changing us, transforming us, growing us. Ben Patterson says, what God does in us while we wait is as important as what it is that we are waiting for. In other words, it's in the waiting where God prepared Moses to be the greatest abolitionist in history. It's in the waiting where God had to get the Egypt out of the Israelites before they stepped into the promised land. It's in the waiting where God stirred within David a heart after his own so that he could be a king that would demonstrate a heart that was sold out for him. You see, you think it was that thing that you're waiting on that God wants to do when actually his final purpose is actually for you to change, for God to do something within you. You're actually the breakthrough that he's working on as you're waiting for your breakthrough. Get that. You're the breakthrough that God is working on as you're waiting for your breakthrough to come. That's why the Bible says that we are his greatest workmanship, because more than anything he does around us, what matters to him is what he does on the inside of us. He wants us to be formed into the image of Jesus Christ. I remember, you know, some of you heard the story, but because there's new people, I'm going to tell it again. In 2012, one of my mentors, spiritual grandfather, if you will, his name is Pastor Daniels. And Pastor Daniels is a very quiet, old, I mean, he used to be a pothead when he was younger, and so you could kind of see he's like really chilled out throughout his life, and he's this old spiritual man. He's the type of guy that says, oh, I'm going to fast this morning, and then he wakes up the next morning and realizes he had been in prayer all day and forgot to eat. He's the type of guy that steps into the prayer closet. He literally goes into his closet, says, I'm just going to pray for a few minutes. He walks out, and it's dark outside. He'd been praying that long. Like, he just loves God. He's old in age, old with wisdom and experience, but I remember at one retreat, you know, he's very soft-spoken. He's a very calm guy. But for some reason during that retreat, you know, I was leading worship, and everyone was getting prayed for. He was just going through each person, anointing them with oil, praying for them. And I remember I was playing the guitar, and I was like, man, I wish he could pray for me. You know, worship leaders need love too, right? They're always playing guitar, and like, they always get passed over. But I was like, man, I wish God would see me in this moment. I remember after he finished with the last person, there was this moment where he locked eyes with me. And, you know, if I could describe him like an element, he's like water, right? He's just like flowing with it, like real chill. But in that moment, in his eyes, I saw fire for the first time in my life. And he looked and locked eyes with me. And he started marching over towards me, so much so that I felt a shuddering in my spirit, like, what's going to go on? It's like, son, I need to pray for you right now. And I kid you not, he grabs the oil, and everyone's getting a dab of oil on their head. He pours the oil onto his, it's like flowing down the side. I'm like, what's going on? He grabs my head. He pushes me against the wall. There's a wall behind me. And he just starts praying with this fire and this ferocity. And I don't know what's going on, but I know like oil is dripping into my eye. I'm just trying to like, oh, okay. I know it's this meaningful moment. And in the midst of his prayer, I hear one thing. God, would you release him into a season of marriage? And I took that and I was like, wow, God, I've been waiting anyway. It's finally time. It's time. And so he finished praying for me. You know, I walked away, got a towel, wiped it off. And I was like, wow, this is my season. It's my season, man. Like, I'm about to get married. I'm about to meet the love of my life. I don't see her anywhere here. Some of y'all like that. I don't see her in this room. I don't see her in my friend group. But I know that God is sending this one. And so I wait a month. Just a month. I'm like, God, where is she? Waiting 2 months. God, where is she? Waiting 6 months. God, where is she? A year later. God, where is she? Like, you promised. And I'm waiting. And I remember around the year mark, I felt like God saying, you know what? In your waiting, you're not to be passive. In your waiting, there's something that I want to do within you. And I remember that year is the year that I got convicted. Oh, you know what? Maybe before, you know, I'm hyped for this girl that God's going to bring into my life, maybe I should work on becoming the best husband that I could be so that when she comes, that I can be a good partner. So I remember that was the year that God started working through all the inside stuff, the emotional stuff, even little things like I had to train myself to put the toilet seat down. I used that year, and I realized that in that year, in my waiting, that God was actually doing something within the inside of me. It was about 2.5 years later where, until God finally answered that. Oh, no, 4 years later until God finally answered that promise and sent me Krista. And she was actually right in my life in front of my eyes. We had been friends for 8 years. But I realized something, that in my waiting, God is wanting to change something on the inside of me. John Ortberg says, biblically, waiting is not just something we have to do until we get what we want. Waiting is part of the process of becoming what God wants us to be. In other words, God's greatest work isn't what he's doing around us, but what he's doing within us. And who we're becoming is far more important than anything else that he is doing. Wayne Stiles, one more quote, he says, our greatest need from God isn't for him to change our circumstances, for him to use our circumstances to change us. And I think sometimes we're in such a rush to get out of the situations and circumstances of our lives, but it's oftentimes that it's in that waiting, it's in the in-between where God does his greatest work of transformation of our lives. If you've ever gone through a difficult season, you know that you come out of it stronger than a season where you weren't struggling or are facing opposition. Our greatest growth comes in the seasons of waiting. Our greatest growth and transformations come in the seasons where we're in the in-between. And so in our waiting, God is working. In our waiting, we are changing. The last one is this. In our waiting, dawn is breaking. You know, they say it's darkest. I think Batman said this. It's darkest right before the breaking of the dawn. I haven't been pregnant before, obviously. But I hear in pregnancy, mothers say that I had never thought about giving up in this process until one moment. As they're on the delivery bed, about to give birth, the moment right before the baby comes, mothers have said that that is the only time throughout the entire 9 months of pregnancy, all the times where I had to like roll over, my ankles are swollen, my body is changing, but the only time where I ever thought about giving up was right before the baby came. They said that was the most painful, discouraging, the most hopeless moment in all of their pregnancy. And I feel like some of us are right there, that the moments we feel like giving up are actually the moments right before God is getting ready to break through. One of my favorite movies, which is really depressing, is called The Mist. It's by Stephen King. And basically, the four characters at the end are waiting for hopefully the army to come and rescue them from these monsters and aliens from another dimension. And they're waiting for the arm. They're hoping that something would happen. They're driving and they're trying to escape these monsters. And finally, their car runs out of gas. And they're at that moment where they're so hopeless. And the driver, the dad, he just has a gun with 3 bullets. And there's 4 of them. And he's like, you know what? The monsters are going to catch up with us. I don't want them to take us out. And so I feel like one of us has just got to take out the other 3. And the other has to get eaten by the monster because no help is coming. And so it's a really depressing ending because they go through a whole movie overcoming obstacles. But the end of the movie is this person ends up shooting the other 3 people. And one of them is his daughter, right? It's really morbid. And he's crying like, oh, like I just had to kill everyone around me. And now the monsters are finally coming. And just when he feels like the monsters are coming, what actually emerges from the mist are the army trucks that were coming to rescue them. And it's like, I'm watching this, I'm like, if you just waited 3 minutes longer, you didn't have to kill everyone. Like, you guys would have been rescued. You guys would have been saved. It would have been okay. And I find that most of us in our waiting want to give up. But I feel like it's at that moment where we're ready to give up and say, God, I can't wait any longer. God, I can't hope anymore. God, I'm too discouraged. I need to disconnect my heart. God, in those moments where we feel like I want to give it up, God's saying the dawn is breaking. There's only a moment longer. Isaiah 61 through 3, Isaiah prophesied before the coming Messiah, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. The last thing I want to encourage you with is that dawn is breaking. That your waiting actually has a time limit. That there is a time limit to the waiting that God has placed in your life, and that God is longing to break through, but he's asking, will you hold on? Will you trust that even throughout the night in the darkest hour, that every second that passes, the dawn is growing closer and closer to rising? Every moment that you're waiting, that dawn is getting closer and closer to breaking through. My old pastors, they had been trying to get pregnant for the longest time. And they waited about 7-8 years. I think we hear stories of infertility in the Bible, and it's kind of like, oh, that sucks. But have you ever known someone or a couple that have been having difficulty trying to get pregnant? It's hard. Just imagine that every year you're saying, God, is this the year? We really want a baby, but is this the year? And year after year of disappointment, I remember our pastors, they were going through years of years after disappointment. But the thing they kept holding on to was, arise and shine, for your light will come. That every moment of waiting is getting closer to dawn breaking. And finally, after 8 years of trying to get pregnant, they finally got pregnant. That the dawn finally came. And if you've ever waited and received what you're waiting for, you know that you wish, you know that you shouldn't have given up, and you are so happy that you didn't, because as you were waiting, the dawn was breaking. And so today, I want to encourage us by remembering these three things. In our waiting, God is working. In our waiting, we are changing. And in our waiting, dawn is breaking. I want to finish with this quote by Lewis Smedes. And why don't we actually just close our eyes? And I just want you to read. It's actually written as a poem. And I want to encourage us with this morning. Lewis Smedes, he writes this. Waiting is our destiny. As creatures who cannot by themselves bring about what they hope for. We wait in the darkness for a flame we cannot light. We wait in fear for a happy ending we cannot write. We wait for a not yet that feels like a not ever. Awaiting is the hardest work of hope. Waiting is the hardest work of hope. Are there any of you in here that are in that season? You're in the in-between. You're in a season of waiting. Maybe you've been waiting for so long for God to actually do what he said he would do. Maybe it's waiting in your family. Maybe it's waiting in your personal life. Maybe it's waiting in your faith. I feel like God wants to encourage you and say that waiting is the hardest work of hope, but it's worth it. Because in your waiting, I'm working. In your waiting, you're being transformed. You're changing. And in your waiting, that light is coming. Dawn is breaking. Will you hold on? Will you trust in me? Will you move in a daring act of faith? And say, the world tells me I should take things into my own hand, but I know that as I wait upon the Lord, he will renew my strength. As I wait upon the Lord, he will fulfill all that he said he would do. What are you waiting on this morning? What is your in-between? Right now, I just want you to just invite God into that place of waiting. Whatever it is that you're longing for God to break through in, I just want you to invite him and say, God, would you come? Would you come as you came to a waiting world that was clothed in darkness? Would you come into my manger, the manger of my heart? God, would you come into the place of brokenness? Would you come into the place of disappointment? God, would you come into the place of hopelessness? Would you come into the very place where you said you would move? And I just begin asking God that. God, come. You're in the waiting. You're in the in-between. Would you come right now? I give this to you.